Now the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Good Sunday morning and welcome back to the second hour of your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue. Joining me here in studio this morning is Chris Kennedy, Democratic candidate for governor. Chris, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
You're great to have me out, so appreciate it.
And congratulations again. You've got graduation. It's graduation time, and you've
it
got
sure
a
is.
Graduation in the family. So.
I got one graduated from college last weekend, and one's graduating from high school this weekend. So it's fun to have all the kids home and grandparents and everybody around.
And also come out and help you on the campaign trail, right?
They've been doing that as well. Young Chris and Kate were out Western Illinois on Friday night, is that right? Thursday night, and apparently did a great job. So,
well, you had, in this past week, you launched kind of a new phase of the campaign. We're kind of past the introductory phase, and now you began what you basically said was the first in a series of deep dives into various subjects of what your vision is for the state of Illinois. And you specifically were talking about for 33 minutes, the issue of property taxes and the property tax system in Illinois, and your view that basically it would be extortion if the laws were changed. What do you mean by that?
Well, I'll explain the property tax issue.
But I'm not giving you 33 minutes.
No, I'm not going to, and I wouldn't take it. But the reason you want to fix property taxes is because we pay for our schools with property taxes. And about 75% of the kids who graduate high schools anywhere in Illinois, public schools, are not prepared to go on to community college or trade school or university without remedial education. That's a huge number, 75%, right off a state website. The fact that they can't do that without remedial education, maybe that's not shocking in the Chicago area where we can overcome it. Within a mile or two of your studio, there's 25 places that you could take courses in remedial education. But outside of the Chicago area and the Collar counties, it becomes harder and harder to get access to that remedial education, which means we really need to fix the high schools. The only way to do that is to fix the broken property tax system.
Well, but I want to say that in some respects that seems almost endemic, because even when I went to college a long time ago, decades ago, but my first year at Southern Illinois University, I went to go pick up my books, and I ended up proficiencying out of four of my first five classes because they were the same books that I'd had in high school. And so it seems like it was built into the system of high school to higher education is this automatic assumption that there ought to be, or an automatic need that there ought to be, remedial work that takes place.
Well, we can accept that, I suppose. We could accept that and say that high school isn't providing our kids a proper education. They have to get it later in life. But you were lucky. You went to a big high school with lots of programs that allowed you to get into a great college. That great college had the resources. But many people aren't going to be able to test like you did or have a class rank like you did and not get into a school like you did that is going to allow for that, or have parents that are able to support you during that period. Those kids will then fall behind. They'll fall behind, and they'll believe that the American economy is meant to crush them, that is not allowing them to rise from rags to riches, to live in the land of the free, the economically free, that they will not see America as the land of opportunity. If they don't see our country as keeping the promise of our country, they're going to elect people who want to destroy the economy and put our country at risk. You want to know where the Trump voter came from? It came from our high school education process, where those kids are undereducated, can't be part of the 21st century economy, are mad as hell, which they should be, and they vote for Trump because they want to blow the system up.
One of the interesting things I thought you talked about in that property tax speech was that we're seeing kind of this as we see an economy that where we have the imbalance of wages and inequality there, that we used to have communities where wealthy people were part of a community that helped support the tax structure, tax system that goes to schools. And now we're basically seeing kind of a wealth separation, segregation, and that the poor communities get even poorer. And there is no tax base to support an educational process that provides equality.
You look back on the history of the funding mechanism for schools, and it was developed at a time where the economy or the makeup of our population, which was much more homogenous in terms of income and wealth. But then we had enormous wealth disparity was created really since the 1980s under President Reagan. And now there's this whole group of super rich individuals, and then they move away from everybody else. We have enormous economic segregation where the rich live near the rich and the poor live near the poor. When you base your school funding on a property tax system, that's a disaster for people who live in less wealthy communities because they don't have access to the tax base that can properly fund the schools. So huge disparities are created in terms of outcome from our kids. That's not fair. That's not the promise of our country. All of our children are born with sort of the same level of intelligence and should be born with the same level of opportunity. But over time, the kids who live in wealthy communities, they develop skills. And the other kids don't have a chance to develop skills. And by the time you're 18 or 20 or being hired for a job, people get confused. They think the people with skills are more intelligent, and they get hired. So we create this enormous gap, and it is not fair to our children. Everybody should have an equal chance. Everyone should have an equal chance.
You say that the property tax system is a rigged system, and that's an insider's game.
Sure.
And that it perpetuates itself because of the interests that are involved in it. The property tax appeals lawyers, the politicians that rely on the donations, and that it becomes this kind of spiraling effect. You wouldn't name any names. You let us do the dirty work about that kind of thing. I mean, because you were talking about politicians, you proposed that politicians not have outside income as property tax appeals lawyers, and that includes some of the biggest names in Democratic politics here in Illinois. And I guess, you know, the Kennedy name is just so iconic and synonymous with Democratic politics, and yet we find you playing the kind of the outsider role this time and kind of eschewing endorsements from Democratic organizations. If you get them, fine, whatever, but that they're not necessary. It just seems an interesting dichotomy as a Kennedy.
Well, I'd go back and look at the history of the Kennedy family, I guess, and look at John Francis Fitzgerald, first Irish Catholic mayor born in the United States in Boston, goes after the machine that exists at that time. President Kennedy fights his way into the Democratic primaries against the establishment, people like Lyndon Johnson, beats them. My father running against Lyndon Johnson as president of the United States in 1968, Teddy running against Jimmy Carter in 1976. And I think in each of those instances, there are great examples to me, my children, and to every American that just because somebody is in power doesn't mean that they deserve to be. They may not be the best person for the job. And if they are not, if they are hurting our country, we have an obligation, no matter how hard it is, to go after them. I mean, my father, Teddy, Jack, you know, they lose a brother in World War II, and yet they sign up to fight. They sign up to fight. And they think that's the obligation of our country. And I believe it's the obligation of everybody in our state to fight the establishment if the establishment is not performing for the people who are here. It's our government. They work for us. We don't work for them.
Do you believe
it's not that,
that
complicated.
Do you believe that that Democratic establishment here in Illinois is working?
I don't believe so. I think they're holding on to a property tax system that's crushing our state, that's keeping two-thirds of the people who graduate from our high school, three-quarters of them, three-quarters of the kids who graduate from our high schools from being economic contributors to the future of our state. We're sidelining all of those people, and that's not right. And we don't abandon a property tax system when every other state uses income tax and other taxes to fund their schools that have much better outcomes. Everybody in the legislature knows that that's what we need to do. All of the electeds, including leadership. But why don't we do it? Why don't we abandon a property tax system? Well, in my mind, it's because too many people make money off of it. And it's really hard to make money off of a system that's based on income taxes, because if you want to alter your income taxes, you're taking on the IRS. If you want to alter your property tax system, you're taking on your local assessor. And frankly, with enough pinstripe patronage and well-connected lawyers and a slew of campaign donations, that's not a tough fight.
We're speaking with Chris Kennedy, Democratic candidate for governor of the state of Illinois. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. A little bit of U2 as we have U2 this weekend in Chicago. They wrap up tonight at Soldier Field. Joining me here in studio, Chris Kennedy, Democratic candidate for governor. We've been talking about kind of the rollout of his deep dives and starting out with the issue of property tax changes and obviously the need to really end that reliance of local schools that creates a fundamental unfairness of your school's as good as your zip code is what it comes down to. And unfortunately, that's been talked about for decades. And now are we starting to see some momentum to change that? But Chris, I wanted to ask you, you know, in this field of candidates, how do you differentiate yourself from the others? I mean, I was at a forum that SEIU, the union, had yesterday, and they had five like fundamental points, issues, and of course, everybody is all for those issues. So how do you end up differentiating? What makes you different from J.B. Pritzker?
Well, I'd say this, that I'm super predictable. I would say that not to say that that's my greatest attribute, but people are going to feel like they know my family, knew how I grew up. They've seen me in Chicago for 30 years. I moved here to serve others in the anti-hunger movement. I run an anti-hunger not-for-profit called Top Box Foods. They know that the people I'm concerned about are the people who need the help the most, and that I see government as something that can help others, can invest in the economy, and can provide our kids great schools and our communities great protection with police and fire. That's what I believe about government. You see a guy like J.B. Pritzker, they catch him on tape, you know, and he's talking about maybe swapping money for an appointment with Governor Blagojevich, and he's using insider language. He's using code words like, I hear you, I hear you. I mean, anybody who's ever watched Goodfellas or one of those mob movies knows that, you know, they're not going to come out and say, if you give me this, I'll give you that. They use code language, and that's part of it. But that's not the sick thing of all of that. The sick thing is when he laughs at his sister's failure, when his sister's bank, Blagojevich, makes fun of his sister's bank going down, and he laughs about that. Look, I have 11 brothers and sisters. My wife has one of five. She has 30 first cousins. I have more than 50. We see everything through that lens. We see ourselves as part of a family, a big American family, and we're going to treat everybody as though they're part of our family too. And when you're part of somebody's family, you don't laugh at their failure. And then to double down to make it worse, not only is he laughing at his sister, he's laughing at the fact that that bank failed because they made subprime loans to poor people in places like Chicago to buy houses they couldn't afford, that they ended up losing, that mark our city today, years later, destroying not only that house that's now vacant and abandoned, but the entire block so that people move away. And then they close the local school, and now the entire neighborhood's, you know, circling the drain. And he and Blagojevich think that that's funny. And no one who thinks that stuff is funny deserves to be the governor of the state of Illinois.
You said super predictability.
Sure.
It almost sounds boring, but no, but I mean, are you saying the others are just, there's unpredictableness about the others?
I think there's something inherently unpredictable about billionaires, frankly. I think that when you don't have customers, when you don't have clients, when you've never worked for someone else, where you've never had to report, you become careless. And you might become careless in the sense that you pass bad checks so often and you finally get arrested for it. But you can hire a lawyer to clean up that mess. And then you can laugh at other people's failures because it doesn't impact you. Who thought anything was funny about the 2007-8-9 period in America? Who laughed during that period at anything? And now they're laughing at that. They're laughing at us. And that's completely sick behavior.
But you are also a person of means, not of the same wealth level as J.B. Pritzker.
I'm a person of means, but I'm not a mean person. And our parents taught us to be part of a family, to treat each other well, and to look after each other. And that's what we need in our party more than anything else.
Now, some people in the party have said, and even this was even brought up by the head of SEIU Local 1 about, you know, the Democrats have candidates who are supportive of issues that the union supports. They're not making an endorsement at this stage, but they're also saying don't eat each other up because one of you needs to go beat Bruce Rauner. Is there a damage effect of, obviously you all have to distinguish yourselves to the voters, but is there a damaging effect on what might come out of a bruising Democratic primary?
Well, you know, with some wisdom, the primary was set in March, you know, months and months and months before the November general election. That allows our party, and frankly the Republican Party, I suppose, but it allows our party time to heal the wounds, to come together, to create a unified message that we can all agree on and then go to battle with the other party. In this case, it'll in all likelihood be Governor Rauner. So I think there's plenty of time next year to heal the wounds. And I go back to the issue of what it's like to be in a big family. I mean, we would have these massive, very aggressive football games before dinner and during the summer, and people would be bloodied and bruised. And, you know, there was never a discussion of what happened in that game during dinner. It was over. You had to repair the damage, walk into my mother's dinner table, and come together as a family, say grace, and move on. And I think that's what the Democratic Party needs to do. And if you've never competed like that, if you don't know what it's like, but it's totally possible to have an enormous fight with your own family and then come together as one against everybody else. And that's what we should do.
I think there's a fundamental question in this race with your participation
Sure.
in it. And it's, you know, obviously the history of the Kennedy family and the legacy. But is it, and maybe it's unfair to ask this, but is that kind of the knowledge and the attitude of the Kennedy family, is that kind of generationed out, do you think?
That's a better question for you to answer, the fundance. I don't know.
But you understand what I'm saying. I mean, obviously you're in the family, but, you know, that's just to me, I think a very interesting question because of the, you know, all of the Catholics who would have the picture of JFK on the wall, the same as many African-American communities have a picture of Barack Obama on the wall. And I just wonder if this may be a part of the test that you face in this election.
I think that's a better question for pundits and others to answer. I'm gonna run on my record, and when you run a place like the Merchandise Mart, when you're running 90 trade shows a year, when you have operating 25 vertical markets, you understand how the economy works and who it works for and how it can work for everyone. I think that's an incredible vantage point from which to envision the future of Illinois. I know this. Governor Rauner says we need his turnaround agenda in order to get the state moving in the right direction because small businesses and large corporations won't move here unless they get the five things that he's talked about. That's absolutely not true. He's just wrong about that. He probably knows he's wrong, but if he doesn't and he's listening, I'll tell him why he is wrong. More companies have moved to Illinois to open an office for the first time at the Merchandise Mart Center than any other location in the state. That's a big statement, but it's true. I don't even know who the runner-up is. I dealt with thousands of companies in my 25 years at the Merchandise Mart. Not one of those companies ever asked me. Not one of them said, I'd love to come to Illinois, to Chicago, to make money here, but I am worried about the way you draw your state rep districts. Nobody ever asked me about tort reform or workers' comp or right to work or term limits. 0% of the people ever asked me about all of them. It's just not true. What those people want, small businesses and large corporations alike, what they want more than anything else out of their government is predictability. They want to know what their taxes are going to be. They don't want the risk associated with the unknown. Governor Rauner's taken a very narrow state government budget problem, something that has been solved in every other state, and turned it into statewide economic chaos. And that needs to end.
That's Democratic candidate for governor, Chris Kennedy. Chris, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you all. Great to be here.
We'll be back with more right after this.